nice message on tonight. A little bit on it. Just want to kind of touch just a little briefly on it that I didn't really get to last Wednesday, and I said I wanted to kind of pick it up. So I won't probably be with you before you tonight as long, but I do want to touch on a little bit of the things to kind of give us a perspective on the seriousness of God as it pertains to our soul and how we are under the dispensation of grace tonight and how things were not as tolerated as it was back then. God was so he had a no tolerance zone for certain things, especially, hear me when I say especially for leadership. He had no tolerance for them. He had more tolerance for people who don't know or very little. But even in the New Testament, he did say we are still destroyed. Rather, the Old Testament, we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So I just want to touch on a little bit of Exodus. If you could turn your attention with me, chapter 39, it's just about two or three verses that we're going to touch on, and we're going to move on to another chapter in Exodus, and then we're going to move on to another chapter in Leviticus, and then we're going to move on to another chapter in Leviticus, and then we might touch on Hebrew real quickly. We might have Hebrews be right before the Leviticus chapter, but I'm not quite sure what order we want to go, but we're going to move in based on the Spirit of the Lord. I'll give you some time to go to Exodus chapter 39. I hope you are blessed. Thank you for those who are visiting with us. I'm not quite sure who's visiting with us, but we thank you. Please continue to come to our DCM Bible study, what we call midweek service on tonight. It's a more intimate setting where God can really, really rest on his people. Midweek service is not for the church. It's not for the Sunday folk. It's not for the spectators. It's not for the player haters. It's really for the remnant of people that's hungry and thirsty for really righteousness, that's looking to grow and looking to see themselves in the things of God. Now, just because you don't make it on a Wednesday night, those things happen. So I'm not talking about that. I'm referring to people who is a con on a continuously consistent basis, wanting to know about Jesus, wanting to know about their soul, where do they stand with God, how God sees them at the end of the day, rather who cares how man sees you, but really, really, really important how God sees you and if you're hungry or not. It's really for the hungry. When I say, Lord, bless the people who really hungry, feed those hungry, and starve spectators. Spectators just want to sit by and they just want to sit by and see what they could get and see what it looked like. They don't really care about God or anything or things of God. They really don't care. That's why I said, starve the spectators. They'll never grow. Amen. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 39 real quickly. And I'm not quite there, but give me a second because I'm kind of moving all over the place. I've been kind of drafting and kind of getting my thoughts on a few other things, but we're gonna rest on 39 just for a little bit. When you get there, I know you probably got there before I did. Just hit with me 27 real quickly. 27, verse 27. I'm not quite sure if I want to touch on a couple of versions because sometimes versions make it a little clear for others. And even me, sometimes I need other versions. So let me make it clear. So let's hit the New King James Version just in case we're getting a little confused here. Let's hit King James first. And if it's possible, maybe we'll touch on a few other verses, translations rather. Exodus 39, 27. Let me start with the 21st, 27 verse. Like I said, it's only a few verses. I'm probably going to go through 32 and maybe 42, maybe verse 42. Let's start with the 27. They made tunics artistically woven of fine linen for Aaron and his sons, a turban of fine linen, exquisite hats of fine linen, short trousers of fine woven linen, a sash of fine woven linen with blue, purple, and scarlet thread made by a weaver, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 30, I said I was going to touch on it, but I think I might just to kind of roll into it. Then they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold and wrote on it in its inscription like an engraving of a signet. Holiness, yeah, this is key. I like this. I'm gonna hit this. Holiness to the Lord, holiness to the Lord, holiness to the Lord. Verse 31, and they tied it to a blue cord to fasten it above on the turban, as the Lord had commanded Moses. 32. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the meeting was finished. And the children of Israel did according to that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, and its clasps, its boards, its bars, its pillars, and its sockets. the covering of the ram skins dyed red, the covering of badger skins, the veil of the coverings, the ark of the testimony with its poles and the mercy seat, the table and all its utensils, the showbread, the pure gold lampstand with lamps, the lamp set in order. Everything was very detailed. I'm just kind of paraphrasing it. And all its utensils and the oil for the light, the gold altar, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, the screen for the tabernacle door, the bronze altar, and the grate of bronze, its poles and all its utensils, the laver with its base, the hangings of the court and the pillars of the sockets, the screen of the court gate and the cords and its pegs and the utensils for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of the meeting, sort of like we would do on Sunday, we preparing the garments of ministry to minister in the holy place, the holy garments for the priest, and look, and his son's garments to minister as priests. This is one of the parts I want to pay attention to minister the holy place, verse 41, and the garments of ministry to minister in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and his son's garments to minister as priests. I want to finish 42. According to all the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over the work and indeed had done it as the Lord commanded, just as they had done it. And Moses blessed it. Just setting the stage on the preparation of the tabernacle and all its furnishings as God commanded the Moses to do, and the children of Israel had to take part. So no different from what we do week in and week out. We prepare, we make sure that we in the presence, or at least we're hoping with the very hopes that we're preparing our hearts, not just the things in order, not just the songs in order, not just the worship in order, but making sure most and most importantly that the presence of the Lord is dwelling among us. Because at this point in this juncture, it was all preparation. And they had to follow it to the details. They couldn't leave any commas out. They couldn't leave any questions mark. It had to be period. And then Moses, the overseer, had to look over it to make sure it was where it needed to be. Not to kind of give you the whole tabernacle setup, but that was what they did in the Old Testament. Now, what I want to get to even some more, let's turn to Exodus chapter 24. Let's hit verse 9. Okay, verse 9, you hit it? Stick your thumbs up with me. Make sure we're all on the same page. Okay, amen. Let's hit thumbs. Then Moses went up. Also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. It's one thing I want you to really pay attention to here. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God and they ate and drank. I'm going to touch on that again so we can get this down in our real spirit here. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, which is Aaron's two sons, and Abihu, the 70 of the elders of Israel. This is leadership, guys, leadership. And they saw the God of Israel. And it was under his feet. Now they're giving us the description of God, the presence, the eyewitness of God under his feet. And it were a paved work of sapphire stone. Keep this in mind. We know what sapphire looked. And it wasn't just the sapphire, but it was the glory that was wrapped around the sapphire. So they became eyewitness of the presence of God for just this moment. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand, so they saw God, which means he did not cover their eyes. He wanted them to see his full part of his glory. In other words, remember the veil? There's some things that they hid them from just to keep them. So the veil was a protection measure, as much we think it was for the VIP section only. Now, as I start thinking about this, thank you, Holy Spirit, that the veil was not just for offense. It was also a protection measure for them to keep them alive. Because the more you experience God, the more you encounter God, even today, that's why we got to be careful. Even though we are under dispensation of grace, we still need to be mindful that we don't grieve Holy Spirit, even though we are under the grace, the time of favor and grace. But we don't want to grieve it so much that when we have encounters like we do sometimes, and then we forget about it and we act foolishly. Because anytime you've been exposed to the presence of God in any way, any form, any fashion, and you say, oh my God, that was such a blessed presence. I felt the presence of the Lord and something happened within me. And then weeks or months down the line, you forget about those encounters and you go falling and you do something foolish or you do something that's not pleasing to God. You personally are going to experience some things you ain't ready for. Why? Not because you experienced the presence of God, not like other people have not. So they'll have a different type of measure of grace that God would not kind of, he's more tolerable to certain ones as opposed to others. Now, when it comes to leadership, and that's why it's really key, leadership. So nobody should hear, but like, well, I ain't really had that experience, so I guess I could do a little bit more. However, that you have some sort of sense, so some sort of exposure to your ears that you've heard truth or you experienced some of his goodness, you also are held accountable to a certain measure as well. Okay, let me first. Then Moses went up and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, the 70 of the elders of Israel. They saw God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. God, my God, this is also awesome. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. It was exposed. They saw it. God made himself transparent. That's what clarity means. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand, which means he didn't want to protect them from seeing this. He wanted them to see his fullness. So they saw God and they ate and drank. Can I touch on this? Yeah, I think I just. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law of the commandments, which I've written that you may teach them. So Moses arose with Joshua, his assistant. Moses went up to the mountain of God, and they said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. You see, wait here for the he's telling instruction. Wait here. We went over this before, but this is not exactly what I want to hit on tonight. This is not the highlight. Wait here for us until we come back. Leadership. Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. For any man has difficulty, let them go to them. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and the cloud covered them in the mountain. That's not what I want to get to. So now let's go to Hebrews real quickly, chapter 8, verse 5. Just want to touch on this priestly part. That's really what I want to hit on. Let's go to Hebrews real quick. I'm just building the case. Hebrews chapter 5, chapter 8. I'm going to touch on verse 1, maybe, but really 5 is my highlight. But I'm going to hit 1 so we can just kind of slowly step into that portion. When you get there, just stick your thumbs at me. Okay. Now, this is the main point of things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne. You always hear me say that. This is the proof of the text now. Who's seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. This is giving us a description on a high priest, how important it was for leadership. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifice. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, which we kind of touched on in Exodus, and we're going to touch some more, who served the copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, as much as he is also a mediator of a better covenant, which we're talking about Christ, which was established on a bed of promises versus the Old Testament. Now let's go back to Leviticus chapter 9. I don't think we're going to be long tonight, but I just wanted to build the case. Leviticus chapter 9. Let's hit verse 8. It's only a few verses, 8, 12, 18, and 22 are the four verses we're going to touch here only. Verse 8, let's start with 8. Give me some time. Give you some time. Tell me your thumbs up and you're ready to go. Okay, verse 8. Aaron therefore went to the altar and killed the calf of skin offering, which was for himself. Then the sons of Aaron, we all know who that to be. Anybody remember the two sons we just discussed real quickly? Nadab, Abihu, the two ones that was saw the sapphire of God. They gave them, they pretty much exposed them in that verse. Then the sons of Aaron brought the blood to him. He dipped his finger in the blood, put it on the horns of the altar, and poured the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat, the kidneys, the fatty lube from the liver of the sin offering, he burnt on the altar, as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh, the hide, he burned it with fire outside the camp. Verse 12, right? 18, yeah, 12. And he killed the burnt offering. Aaron's sons presented it to him, the blood, which he sprinkled all around the altar. You're getting in my way. Hold on a second here. And he presented to him, then they presented the burnt offering to him with its piece, with its pieces and head, and he burnt them on the altar. And he washed the instruments and the legs and burnt them with the burnt offering at the altar. That's not what I get to. So 18, this is 18. Let's go to 18. He also killed the bull, the ram, sacrifices of peace offerings, which were for the people. Aaron and Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around the altar. Now, stop right there. Let's hit Leviticus chapter 10. So now, before I get y'all to go any further, because we're going to hit 10, 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, and 12, and we're going to stop right there. Now, but before I want to get there, we set the stage on the tabernacle and the prompt and the building of the garments. We talked about the garments, how God was very detailed with the garments, and then he started to really get them to a point where they started to furnish the tabernacles and set up for worship, as we call it, church, and set it up, making sure everything was where it needed to be, not just where things were, but mindsets had to be in place. Everything had to be perfect before the Lord, before we enter his grace, enter his throne, enter his sanctuary, to make sure no one got blown up, no one was killed at that moment. We had to be very, very strategic how we set our minds and the things of God. Our hearts won't be where it should be. Our thoughts should be preparation, making sure we ain't just getting by at the last minute and scramble and scrambling and all these kind of things that we do oftentimes and not. We are preparing everything about us for the glory of God. Now, verse 1, look at this here. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took its censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered a profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. What are you saying, Pastor? God killed Aaron's two sons. Pastor, why was God so like this? Here, we went back. Let's go back to what we thought about. Aaron's two sons witness sapphire around the presence of God. He did not protect them from it because he wanted to show his glory for the people. He wanted to give them an experience, as we talk about, an encounter. And so when you get an experience, some sort of, if you got any experience in your life, I don't care if it was even don't minimize healing, don't minimize any kind of deliverance. You get emotion. It's not emotional, it's an encounter. That's what we put in our resume with God. God did this. That's something for you to hold to. God did that. That's something for you to hold to. God did this, and I seen him do this, and I seen the way he moved, and you glorified God, and you told the people how he did this and how he did that, and then you started to do something that was foolishly, buffoonery, was not pleasing. And so when you get exposed to the things like that, now you are held to a much higher esteem than most people. Because now what he done, he has called you, when we always hear the term, he called you from darkness to his marvelous light. Sapphire is, precious stone. He showed the clarity. It ain't the ones you see in cage jewelry. This was something that you could not even compare to. It was in its most intricate way. It was very transparent that you can see clearly through it. So once that happens, now the standard gets higher. Like when we have certain service and we have come up to this certain plateau, it gets higher. If we go down with God, doesn't please, like, wait a minute, this ain't the same people that I met with weeks ago. Something down in the way, somebody was in the way. Somebody wasn't where they needed to be. And you cannot put blame. You got to look at self. Where did I go wrong that God did not show up for me? Because keep this in mind, anytime you gather for the presence and for the glory of God, God has no problem restraining himself. In fact, he looks for visitors. He looks for somebody he can fellowship with. He's looking for people who's excited to see him and excited to be around him. He's looking for people who got a heart made up for him and preparing a mind that they're not jabbering and talking all this foolishness. Just get yourself in the presence of the Almighty so we can get closer to the presence and closer to the glory. And so verse 1, these two sons each took its censer, which is an incense. A certain smell, aroma. As I always put it before, God looking for a sweet-smelling Savior, something he can, this is my people. This is what I'm looking for. This is the sacrifices that I want to smell when I come around them. The incense was to help. Oh, God, he's helping me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The incense was to help make sure that sin wasn't over, the odor of sin wasn't overriding the incense. My God, Holy Ghost, oh God. The odor of the incense had to make sure that the odor was great, that he didn't smell sin. Each took its incense, his censer, and put fire in it. Put incense on it and offered profane, which means illegal, unauthorized. I'm just translating it for you. Fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. See, you know what we do? We always talking about God told me to do this. If God told you to do something and you did it and he don't show up, then you can't tell me God told you to do it. Because God is a God of results. Positively, negatively. You had this, oh, I heard from the Lord, so I did this. I heard from the Lord. Did you really hear? And this is the thing where God was making an example for Aaron's two sons to make sure that anybody who comes behind Aaron's two sons, they're going to make sure they're on a tightrope. What you have to do sometimes, people, even when you got children, you want to make sure you putting some things in order so the next group of children that come behind them know, I'm not doing that. I seen what happened to you. So hopefully we learn through examples of leadership what not to do. When we hear all these kind of things going around the churches of today, and we're going around all the what's going on in the buffoonery and the things that's going on at the altar and leadership, and they commit spiritual crimes, and we're looking at them. My God, look, God is saying, this is what not to do. I don't play games. I would give people grace, but I'll take them out of here. And the way I would do it is in such a fashion that you know, I don't know if I want to be called to leadership after all. You want to get in leadership? You got to have a certain order. It ain't about your post and your position, how long you've been in the church. Where's your heart for the glory? Is it for the glory of God? Are your mindset preparing for service when you know you got a service Sunday or Wednesday night? Are you preparing your heart, your mind, your soul, your thoughts, and you giving your offering? See, we can't offer bulls and rams. You got to offer you. You are the living. You become the living. You got to make sure your incense is right. That the odor of sin is not overriding the incense that you presented. Let me go back here. Each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. He didn't tell them to do this. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, destroyed them. Look what he did, so I can give you some visuals. He presented fire, incense. The fire they presented is the same fire that consumed them. He set them on fire. You got to think about this now. You watching literally, you can't call 911. If they were there on site with all of his furnishes, they could not have put that fire out. If you had called all of your local stations together to get, you could not have not done it. He set them on fire. So all you heard was a cry. You know what I felt this moment? Just for a moment, the Holy Spirit said, that's the way eternal damnation is going to feel. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me stay close to your glory. That's the way eternal damnation is going to feel when you do not do the things on earth properly and you leave here knowing the fact that there's a truth and there's guidance and there's something on the other side that we have to make sure that our hearts is clean and our minds is right before we enter that place. Because if we don't do it, we will be set on fire eternally. Theirs was temporarily because as soon this killed them, so they didn't have any else to deal with, no more pain for them. But this was just giving us a little bit of insight how this can be eternity when we don't do right. Sit on that for a moment. Sit on that. That's how it could be. This is an option. This is an option for you right now to really think about where your heart is. You playing church or you saying one thing, but your actions shows differently. Your actions are moving differently. If you're moving in offense, if you're moving in lies, if you're moving in false witness, if you're moving all these double-minded and double standards and these other rituals outside of the glory of God, God is like, I see what you're doing. You play church in preparation on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, you're living like a hellion. Shucks, man. So fire went out from the Lord and he devoured them. And they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke. And do you remember the insignia in the grave that they have put in there? The Lord is what? Holiness. Remember that? Y'all remember that verse saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as what? Holy. The same way the angels cry out in Isaiah, holy. It ain't just words, man. The angels see sapphire all day long, holy, and all the people must be glorified. Now, look at here now. Look at the response here. So Aaron held his peace. What else what you going to do, Daddy? What else you going to do? You going to go up against trying to chum up yourself to God? Like no. At that point, now your hard parts better make sure that you right, because you're going right behind them sons. God killed your children right before your very eyes, consumed them with fire. There was a spectacle in front of all the children of Israel in case one of them get raised up to become a priest or any sort of leadership. They know they had to make sure they was on a tightrope because God can kill me at any moment. And if those of you or those of us have experienced some sort of the glory, some sort of deliverance, some sort of healing, and some sort of breakthrough, and we talk about it, we glorify, we got these temporary praise based on what he did, we forget about what he's done in our temporary situation, and then we act folly or present something to him, and then you start feeling yourself. God, like, what did I do for you 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025? You remember you was in a holding place. You didn't know what you was going to do. And I gave you some leeway and I opened up some things for you. What did I do for you? That is your and my a personal experience. We saw sapphire in our own way. So then Moses, verse 4, called Michael, Michelle, Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, come near, carry your brethren. He's talking about the other two sons. Carry your brethren that's on fire. Do you now you got to be able to look at this now. Now you look, it doesn't stop there. Look at the chain reaction. Now you got a two other brothers got to, it was like they was pallbearing before it's time. Bringing a body out, burned and consumed with fire. And everybody's watching this. You're seeing two men who was in leadership, priests, they experienced things. They was on the next chain, the next level. If Aaron was to die off, they would step in rank, but they were still priests, but they wasn't the high priest. Oh, I'm not the pastor. I don't have much expectation. You better be quiet. When you come around some sort of leadership, you may not be the pastor, but you have some great deal of responsibility. It ain't just the pastor. It ain't just the prophet. It ain't just the apostle. It ain't just the teachers and the leadership. It ain't just the minister. No, it's anybody who's around it, seen it, experienced it, seen some deliverance, seen some healing, seen some encounters, seen some breakthroughs, seen some experience. You are part of the room, the room. Verse four. No, be close. Come near. Carry out your brethren from before the sanctuary, out of the camp. So they went near and carried them by their tunics, the same tunics we know their makeup, their outfits, the custom outfits that they had to use that we read in the earlier chapters, out of the camp. And Moses had said, in verse 6, and Moses said to Aaron, to Eleazar and Ithamar, which is now his sons, do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, which means that was a period of time when you know when you lost a loved one. In other words, Moses says, you can't grieve. Mm-mm. You can't grieve. Look. Oh, I'm about to touch something here. You can't grieve when you see people walk away from the glory of God, walk away from the church. You can't grieve. Your heart should not be broken. That was the choice they made. And God gonna allow them, he gonna let them experience some things. And when you see the outcome of it, you cannot grieve. Well, what can I do? It was no, that everybody got a choice and a decision maker. We are nobody's adults. We're not parenting people in the church. In other words, we're not their parents. When they make decisions and they see the outcome of it, it's on them. God told Moses, told the two sons, do not tear your clothes. That was a form of mourning and grief. In those days, you had at least 30 days. Even God told the people of Israel, when God took Moses out, you got 30 days to mourn. After that, get your hind parts up because I'm taking you to the promises. My oath, my promises is there. I made to the generation before you. Death cannot hold back my glory. In other words, guys, when we have to do sometimes, when we sorry, we see things moving a certain way and people making decisions and it's like, what's going on? No, let them be. It hurts, yes. But he's telling them, do not tear your clothes. Do not mourn because they decided to go a different direction. As much as it hurts, but we have to be very careful because this is the fact that some things, this was an intimate relationship here. These were children that they raised up from knee-high, changed their pampers, diapers, et cetera, and see, they became in leadership. And now you see this profane fire they presented that God told them not to do. So we keep saying, this is what God told me to do. This is what God put up. So I'm doing it because I want to look spiritual. I want to look, keep looking spiritual with your deep self. Keep looking that way. You got your reward. So they went near and carried them. Verse 5, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 5. So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes, lest you die. That was the prerequisite. That was the restriction. You mourn, you die. You don't follow these instructions, you going with them. Man, Moses had to tell his own two sons this, guys. Listen, this is how serious this is. Okay, let me finish here. Do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes, lest you die, and wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, meaning his cousins, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. Verse 8, then the Lord spoke to Aaron, the last person, saying, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink. You nor your sons with you. Talking about the last two. When you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation, that he may distinguish between holy and unholy. So this is the distinguish what holiness and unholy look like. Yeah, well, you heard the words. This is the picture. This is the example. Moses told Aaron, you can't even mourn. You can't even celebrate your two sons and have a home going. Those of us who are love, let me have this funeral for my loved one. And I get it. But what did they leave here with? What do we celebrate? How are we gonna tell people they going into the heavens? How do we feel comfortable saying words that's not even the Lord? This is the ceremony, sanctuary things that most of us want to get in leadership. You got to be true to the truth. It's a very thin line. It's very, you want to get there? You want to smell that? Do you really want that smoke? And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker now. We don't have a choice if you call to it. You got to answer the call. And I know some of your mind is, well, you know what? Let me go back door. Yeah, you go back door. God's still going to be right there at the back door. You know what you got to do. It's no choice in the matter. Look, David says, if I lay my bed in hell, guess who's there? The Lord. God is right there. He says, if I lay my bed, if I go to the four corners of the earth, in other words, people of God, we cannot escape God. And I know some of you right now thinking in the back of your head, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to put my Baptist finger up in the air and I'm going to kind of turn myself this way and I'm just going to go out over here. No, that Baptist finger better go right back down, sit your hind parts down, because if God called you, there's nothing you can do. You just got to make sure that you can put this in your eye lens. Make sure you look at these two signs of what God did for them. You want to get in leadership? This is what leadership looked like. They wanted the spot. They got the spot. They wanted so historians and theologians, they was trying to figure out, well, why did God take so severe measure? What did they do? Were they drunk? Did they make a mistake? Some sort of, now mistakes happened. It wasn't no mistake. You know, we make mistakes. That's different. No, this was a strange fire. Remember, they was exposed to the sapphire. They saw the glory of the Lord fall. They saw the tabernacle furniture. They saw the preparation, the customs and the linen and all the things that we've seen, the trimmings. They saw all of that. They knew all of that. But we don't know why God did it the way he did it. But he decided to do it this way. We don't know if they was drunk. We don't know if they made a mistake. We don't know if they put certain things out of in certain place of the preparation. We don't know any of it. All we know, they was consumed with the same fire they presented. And he left them so they could be a spectacle for the rest. This is what not to do. This is what disobedience looked like. This is what presenting false God looked like. This is what saying you said I told you to do looked like, but I didn't tell you to do it. This is what you said the Lord moved on your heart to do, but that's not what it looked like. You are lying nearly on God when you say God told you to do it this way. You putting his name, when you hear that, don't put my name in vain. You putting his name in vain when you say the Lord instructed you to do this. The Lord told you to sit out. You're hearing what I'm talking about. The Lord told you to sit aside. Yeah, you heard. Yeah, the Lord told you that. Did he really tell you that? Did he really tell you that? You better be very, very careful when you say the Lord told you to do something or instructed you to do something. Because it's going to show up. And I'm going to tell some people, because I still feel like this is some group of people here. Their mindset is, I think I'm going to just go sit down in my seat and I do nothing because I don't want that smoke. No, 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 no. You're going to have to come up. Because if you got that mindset that you don't want that smoke, then God says, that's when I can use you. Because then you can be an example on what righteousness and leadership should look like. You know, the ones who don't want leadership, and those are the ones he's calling up. The ones who don't want the callings of God, that's the ones he wants. You know, the ones who want to rush to the altar and show themselves approved. Sit down, wait a minute, wait your turn, and know what righteousness looked like. Because it's not a position. It's not your stature, King Saul. It's not your height. It's not the odor you wear. God don't care about your perfumes. He don't care about your oils. Yeah, that's what other people glorify. But is it a sweet smelling for God or for man? I ain't telling you can't look nice. I'm not telling you can't smell good, but I'm asking you, is it pleasing to the Holy One? Is it more oil for people or is it more oil for God? Tell me the truth, because it shows up, because it looks to me, God ain't showing up every time. God ain't moving in your living room like he should. You ain't giving him complete access and autonomy to your sanctuary like he wants to. Because your odor is more prevalent to his odor. God almighty, man. Y'all getting me excited. We're not even having Sunday service here. But that's the way we ought to be. Every time we come in his presence, we come with this dull mindset. Like, I'm just here. Present yourself. You are the living sacrifice. Holy. Present, meaning present, that you prepared yourself before the presentation. You didn't just get up before the people and show them something that you wanted them to see. You presented, you prepared, you went over it. You want to make sure this was right. I know I got some people who's very anal to make sure that things are right when they're setting up for the glory of God. They're not just getting by. Let me tell you something. I'm going to get real thick here with you. If you mess up some sort of way, it's a mistake. That's one thing. But when you are just scrambling, getting yourself together for the glory of God, that means you failed to prepare properly. Not just you, your mindset ain't right. When you fumbling and you trying to, you ain't right. You just got to know the truth of the matter is we don't want to be truthful, but we know when people ain't really moving in the grace of God. I got to tell you, it ain't difficult when you operate in his grace and his presence, you move differently. You don't struggle. You don't strain. Yes, we have struggled sometimes when we got to kind of press our way through. Don't get it mistaken here. Sometimes we got to press our way in and get ourselves. But I'm talking about presenting yourself. Holy. Acceptable. Which is the perfect will of the Father. Father, I thank you right now for your Holy Spirit. Lord, if anybody in here, Lord, their heart ain't right, I pray they really getting themselves on the floor and repenting before you right now. They said some things. They moving in a certain way. They odor. They fragrance is not where it's supposed to be. Lord, I pray for repentant hearts, hands lifted, minds on you right now. Eyes shut. There's some people still playing church, man. There's some people really playing church behind the scenes, behind the curtains. There's some people playing church just because you do certain things that God told you to do, but there's some other things God didn't tell you not to do and you're still doing it. I'm talking to you. The Holy Spirit dealing with you right now. Right now. He's coming right now. He's going to expose some things right now. Right now. Some things he showed you and told you what to do, and you've done it. But there's some things he told you not to do, and you're doing that. You're giving God mixed signals. Sort of like when you give that partner mixed signals. I'm going to tell you something now. I'm not out of turn. Whatever you're doing to the Lord quietly, whatever you're presenting to him quietly, however you present yourself to him quietly, however you're moving with him quietly, it's going to start to unveil itself openly. Let me say it this way so you can get a different example here. The way you present to him is the way he's going to use people on the earth to present themselves to you. Why they treat me this way? God says, that's the way you treat me. I'm only giving you the measure you're giving out. Why people's hearts are turning away from me? Because your heart is turned away from me. People that I can have used to trust and they in my corner. All of a sudden, they're not around like they used to. Because God says, because you're not around me like you used to be. No. Let me say this. The measure you put out, this is what the Lord is saying to me tonight. The measure you putting out right now is the same measure it shall be returned unto you. You know that scripture that I always talk about, Luke 6:36? I know y'all think it is just a money scripture, but it's all things. Give and it shall be given. Good measure. Hear me? That's the measure. Press down. Shaken together. I know people use it as a prosperity scripture. And running over. Well, men will pour into your bosom. The same measure you give out, the same measure will be returned unto you. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Watch what you do behind closed doors. Watch what you're presenting. Watch what you're saying, because the same thing is going. So what's going to happen here? Let me say it this way, prophetically here. Everything we're doing behind closed doors, whether it's good or bad, it's going to get exposed. It's going to get exposed. If you see some people getting promotions and promoted and going to another level, it's because of some things that God is pleased with on the backside of things, behind the desert, when no one was watching, when no one was praising, when no one was clapping. When no one was there to be an eyewitness. What you're doing behind the scenes, behind the desert. God says, I'm gonna show the people what you've been doing quietly. But if you've been doing some other things behind the desert, I'm gonna tell the truth about you. If you're seeing people getting promoted in some things, and I don't mean promoted, just job. People always think job. See, that's because your mindset is about system, 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 system. Promotion comes from different places. Anytime God is upgrading you some sort of way, it's because he's pleased with you. Any promotion, any upgrade, anything God does, whether it's one number to two, That's promotion. That's some sort of upgrade. God is pleased. Now, I'm going to tell some people real quickly, because I know your mindset. You're like, well, I ain't been getting promotion. I've been in a dry place. That doesn't mean promotion ain't on its way. You're still behind your desert, still presenting yourself properly. It's just not the time yet. Hold your horses. God ain't done with you yet. If I were you, and wherever you are, some of you should be travailing right now for the presence of the Lord. We asked him to meet with us at the beginning stages of this service. He's here and he's speaking directly to you. He's ministering to you in a way I can't minister to you. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Don't get scared. Don't get scared. This is the time to shape up. You're not properly with, shape up. Stop hiding your crimes. Your crimes is going to show up for real. You can do all your services before the Lord and before his people. You one person you would never fool is the Lord. And he will be the one exposing you, not leadership. It's just that what you're doing is that you're leaving leadership with the responsibility of carrying you out because you've been consumed with fire. You're leaving us with the burden on the decisions that you're doing behind the scenes. This is the domino effect that the two brothers had to carry their consuming two elder brothers, the priests, out from the place because they presented a strange fire before the Lord. Anything you're doing that would leave heartache to a counterpart or to leadership, check yourself real quick, because what you do is a chain reaction for what we all have to carry. Decisions you make is not just affecting you, it's affecting the people around you. Oh, I don't care about them. Okay, fine. Care about your soul then. If you care about you, your soul, then you'll start caring about the people around you. You know that scripture, love thy neighbor like thyself? That's that right there. See, we hear the words, but we don't see it in action. That's it right there. Let me pray over these givings. Thank you so much. You know, we're going to need to make sure that our giving is right. Oh, can I say it? You know what? I'm going to say it this way. Make sure your giving, your seed is right. The seed is not evil. It's the person who's presenting the seed. Because money don't have an emotion. It's the person who's presenting the money that got the emotions. That seed is coming from your heart. Let me use this. Abel had a more better sacrifice than Cain. Y'all remember that? Two years ago, Bible study. The sacrifice Abel made, they both made sacrifices, but God was like, what are you giving me, Cain? Abel had a more better sacrifice. Look, no different from today. Cain jealous of Abel's growth. He's jealous of his upgrade. He's jealous because God is recognizing him. He's jealous. No, well, he said, if you do what Abel's doing, young man, I can do the same with you. Some of you, a little bit of certain way, you know, Pastor, just kind of call on this person a little bit more. And, you know, I mean, what's going on? If you where you need to be, you ain't got to worry about it.